Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to another Invest with Clarity podcast with Mark. Mark is still self-quarantining at home, so if he sounds a little bit fuzzy, that's because he doesn't have his super-duper microphone. And today, we're going to talk about recession to recovery, love, L-U-V, will get us through. Where do we even begin with the love?
You never knew I was such a romantic, did you?
I didn't. And especially, I mean, I knew you were passionate about the markets, but this is taking it to a different level.
Yes. No question about it. Well, obviously, we have now, you know, we're heavily into, you know, this quarantine period. They're talking about extending it out longer. And you turn on the news, the business news, the regular news, everything is very depressing. Everything is dire. It could be a long time before the economy gets up and running. And the fact of the matter is that nobody knows when the economy is going to get back to full strength. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. And so what people do to appease themselves is they listen for the opinions that agree with their opinions so they can feel better, right? But the reality is, the danger is that as you sit there and you listen to opinions, you forget that they are opinions and that what really matters is facts. In fact, number one, well-run businesses will adjust in the economy. As the economy gets back up and running, as I've talked about in previous podcasts, you want to have your portfolio set up in a manner where you own the best businesses you can for the sectors you want to own. So as we're in the middle of this, we've gone down about 36% from peak to trough. We've now rebounded basically to halfway back of the losses that we've got. And now the discussions are starting to tune up on, well, how's the market going to do this year? What's the S&P going to do? The reality is, and remember this is super important, Matt. Smart investors don't invest in companies for the recession you're in. And we're obviously in a recession. Numbers are just now coming out from the banks this week. Everything has slowed down massively. It's not a shocker, not a surprise. We don't know the full extent of earnings. But you don't want to make your investment decisions today based on what happens to the economy in the next 6 months. You want to make your decisions on what's going to happen in the next year, 3, 5 years, and allow the volatility to give you the opportunity to continually invest in those businesses over time, just as we've discussed. Now, the love part of this, now that we know we're in a recession, right? You know, for those who seek to find a silver line in every cloud, we look for the positives that come from bad situations. Recessions are no different. Economic contractions are always tough to swallow, especially when we are in the midst of one. And we're right in the midst of one. I think it's important to share both good thoughts and bad thoughts and what history will likely refer to as the coronavirus recession, right? The bad news is that we are on the cusp of seeing the worst economic news on a percentage change basis ever. Is the worst. It's the fastest the markets have gone down. The slowdown of the economy is the fastest that you've seen in history. The good news is, though, that it will all be, and this is super important, right? And we've talked about this before, it will all be rearview mirror looking, and investors who are smart will be focusing on the future and not the past. You know, as I've talked about in the last coronavirus podcast, when this thing was down 25%, 20%, 25%, 30%, 35%, we made all our adjustments in our clients' portfolios, the majority of them. Mm-hmm. There's minor tweaking that's gone on. But we've had clients tell their advisors, hey, tell the portfolio manager not to stop making us so much money, right? Because they've seen stocks go up 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% that they bought down in the bottom of this market. And investors think emotionally, they think short term. And when you have big events like this, many investors get into a cash crunch, right? So they're forced to have to sell investments to raise cash. And so you get an artificial deflation of asset values that are not necessarily true and provide the opportunity for an investor who has transparency and flexibility to go buy them. Now, what exacerbates this, Matt, as you know, the financial media is some of the worst, right? It will seek to devour any of those who will not cower to their doomsday predictions. The doomsday predictions are unbelievable. Watch as this unfolds, and if you can, do not listen to it. Stick to your plan. Stick to your process. If you have asset allocated yourself appropriately to your risk tolerance and your investment objectives, and you are staying in connection with that with your plan, as well as using your buy disciplines and sell disciplines, you need to do, as you know, my favorite phrase, stick to the knitting.
Those are wildly important pieces. Sticking to the knitting, making sure that you understand that, you know, this can be a magnificent time to reallocate what's going on, which is what you guys have done, which means that we should probably have Chuck back on the podcast here in the near future to talk about some of the moves that you guys made, because we can look at that from a historical perspective. But let's talk about LUV, which is the title of the podcast. Why did you use LUV instead of LOVE, and what do those letters themselves mean?
Great question. So a lot of the predicting that is going on, right, which affects short-term volatility and values of stocks, is the prediction of what type of recovery will we see coming out of the recession. Every recession that we've had in the past, there's been a recovery. Some have been faster than others. But in general, we call this the love factor. There are what's called L-shaped recoveries, U-shaped recoveries, and V-shaped recoveries. These have to do with how your economy, right, will come out of it. L-shaped recoveries, for example, typically arise from what we refer to as structurally based recessions. Think of the Great Depression, the financial crisis in 07, 09, and the inflation-driven four recessions from 1970 to 1982. They all have one common factor of a deep-rooted financial system failure that caused or abated them. The banking and the credit markets, in essence, were perceived to be on the brink of failure. These, you know, Matt, these structural recessions have what we refer to as an L-shaped recovery and take years, if not decades, to recover. We obviously do not believe, because of what's happened here, that we're going to see an L-shaped recovery. You do have some people predicting that, but most people are saying, is this a U-shaped recovery or a V-shaped recovery? The U-shaped recovery, this typically arises from what we refer to as a cyclical-based recession, right? Not structural, it's cyclically based. Think of the recession of 1991, 2001, right, with 9/11. The three mild recessions that occurred between 53 and 60. They're usually caused by an overheating economy and the Fed raising rates above the limit that, well, in hindsight, they shouldn't have. Following a U-shaped recovery, typically in nature, it takes about 6 months to a year before the economy normalizes. Remember, we've talked about on previous podcasts that when you look at a recession, the markets have already priced it in. So the markets have already priced in this recession, right? They're going to start looking at the future and what's the future going to hold and what do earnings look like in 2021. Obviously, when we went down 36% from peak to trough, the market was in free fall and nobody knew anything of what was going on. I think that as you see the government and people talking about trying to open up the economy in certain ways, or the success of testing or vaccines, you're going to see the economy open up quicker, right? And you're going to see things get back to normal maybe a little bit quicker. This recession obviously does not show that. This recession is a hard drop down. We think it's going to be what they call a V-shaped recovery. And those typically happen when we have an exogenous shock-based recession, black swan events, right? And think of the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? The 68 political crisis, Vietnam War, the 87 crash, probably more people will remember right now. It went down 22% one day, 43%, I think it was, from peak to trough. Interestingly enough, Matt, most people don't realize that in 87, when you had the 22% down day, and 43%, give or take, from peak to trough, the S&P actually that year ended up in a positive territory. And look, as we're talking right now, I think the S&P right now, give or take, is down somewhere around 15%, give or take 14%. It's super volatile. Now, the volatility is beginning to wane a little bit. In other words, the wild swings are starting to shrink, which is pretty typical, which basically means investors are beginning to figure out where they believe valuations are, where they should be, and where they're going to be. All of these black swan events in nature obviously could never have been foreseen, right? But each crisis leads to an extraordinary levels of heightened fear, which we've had, and mindset that the world is ending. And there is no question that this virus, people are genuinely concerned about health. We have, let's face it, we haven't had a pandemic like this really in our lifetime. We've had some other minor, I shouldn't say minor, but you know, H1N1 was a was a serious virus. Bird flu was a serious virus. And of course, every year, thousands of people die from, you know, influenza. But you haven't seen something like this. In all the cases, though, we were not in a recession before the shock, and, or we were coming out of one. This is what attributed to each of those recessions being what's called V-shaped. I think as you start opening up, you know, the economy has been shut down. As I talk to people I know, they're going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know, they don't want to be at home. They want to go out to eat. They may not want to buy a car, but they may want to go to a car lot and dream about buying a car or go to sporting events. We haven't had any sporting events. I believe there's going to be a massive pent-up demand coming out of this, which will dramatically enhance a V-shaped recovery. That question is, of course, is when. And until we have greater clarity on that, we will continue to see the volatility, right? We will continue to see everything go up and down. People are asking, well, do you think we'll go back down 35% again? It's always possible, right? You don't know. But you also can't predict it. And people will come on and they'll try to predict things. Predictions just lead to problems. Stick to your process. Stick to your asset allocation. If it goes down more, there are things you can do with your buy discipline, your sell discipline. But I think what you really want to be thinking about, Matt, is again, investing in great businesses, not in indexes. We're going to talk on a future podcast that we think the days of passive investing, set it and let it go investing, those days are over.
I think we probably should have defined recession again. That's not a word that is talked about very often. And I think it's rather nebulous. And I'm glad that we're going to talk about the days of passive investing are gone, because I think that's going to be a highly listened to podcast. But would you mind, as we wrap up here, just to define what a recession actually means? And maybe just historically talk about the recovery time that we've seen. Now, you just said that, you know, the S&P was positive, you know, at the end of the year with some of these events. But would you mind just walking us through a little bit of that, please?
Coming out of recessions historically, it varies. That's why it's very difficult to predict. It depends on the type of recession. It depends what happens. That can vary. And that's why we're big fans. We really believe that we're fans of the V-shaped recovery. We think that pent-up demand is going to make the recession end quickly. So the pure definition of a recession, obviously recess, it's a period of temporary economic decline. During that period where trade and industrial activity goes down, it's reduced. Generally, a recession is identified by a fall in the GDP, gross domestic product, in two consecutive quarters. So if you have 6 months of continual decrease in your economic activity, they constitute that as a recession. We think that while the economy was doing fine, it had started slowing down a little bit before this happened, but the economy was still very strong. We don't know if it'll all go 6 months, but the recession of economic activity has obviously been unprecedented in this particular situation. And I believe the government's doing a very good job of assisting this situation. They were very proactive. I think things could have actually gotten a lot worse if the Treasury and the Federal Reserve did not step in as quickly as they did on this. I personally think they've done a very good job. I also think that when you don't know when it's going to be over, you don't know when really economic activity is going to increase. The talk right now is they're going to start opening up spots, different places where risks are a lot lower. but I think that's still open for debate. And right now, most people think this could go anywhere into May. Some are saying even into June. That's what a recession means. We don't know how long it will last because you can predict it, Matt. But as I've said many times, predicting is absolutely pointless. I think the bigger thing and the bigger lesson out of showing the love here is don't get caught up in trying to predict when you think things are going to happen, because values of businesses are not contingent upon a recession or when it ends, because no one knows. The value of business is based upon what a buyer is willing to pay for that business and what a seller is willing to pay. And certainly some industries will be far more hurt by this, definitely in the short term, maybe in the long term. Things like cruise lines, like flight, airplanes, travel, vacations, maybe even sporting events. We don't know. But I think what you want to do is look at the kinds of businesses that you would want to own, technology, for an example, coming out of this, to help position yourself to take advantage of those opportunities when it's done.
Closing thoughts. Anything else?
I hate to be a broken record. Stick to the knitting. Stick to the process. We're going to shoot this podcast out to our clients, hopefully to give them some clarity. Obviously, we did not talk about specific positions on this podcast because we can't. But I think it's important for investors to understand that you stick to the knitting. You stick to your process.
Gotcha. Well, Mark, thank you very much for talking about recession to recovery and what LUV, which are the different kinds of recovery curves that we could be expecting within the marketplace. Thanks for your thought leadership today.
You got it, boss. Good chatting with you.
All right. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. And of course, please share this widely with your friends and family. Getting the right information out to people right now is vitally important. There's an enormous amount of misinformation in the mass media. This is a great way for you to help your friends and family truly understand what it means to invest with clarity. For Mark Pearson and everybody at Nepsis, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis, Inc., an SEC registered investment advisor.